Hey, 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 everyone! This is Morgan, and you are listening to the Rogue Preparedness Podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. I really do appreciate you, and I hope that you have been enjoying this podcast. If you are enjoying it, I really encourage you to leave some sort of feedback wherever you listen to this, on iTunes or Spotify or Google Play or whatever, and just, leave some feedback, and it really helps the podcast and helps me improve. Like, if there's anything that you don't like about it, go ahead and say that too. You know, I'm not just saying, you know, leave a 5-star. Hey, if you really don't like this podcast, you're listening to it, you want to leave 1-star, hey, that is your prerogative, okay? I'm not going to stop anyone from leaving negative reviews. I know this podcast is not going to be for everyone. I'm not as funny or exciting as the Casual Preppers guys, but, you know, or some other podcasts, but I try to be as informative and lighthearted as I can. You know, prepping can be pretty so serial business all the time, and while I do like to talk about the serious stuff, I also like to, you know, have some fun sometimes. So anyway, I hope that I'm kind of bringing both of it in. But if you guys ever have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on any of my social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm on YouTube. I post videos every single week. I am everywhere. And of course, head to my website at roguepreparedness.com, and you can search me on all those platforms. Just search for Rogue Preparedness and I should come up. So today's topic is going to be about food storage. So is your food storage really ready to handle an emergency situation, a natural disaster, stuff like that? And I think when we're thinking about food storage, you know, it can be really daunting. And some people really downplay it, as in you just need beans and rice and that's it. And then some people go like extreme and they're like, you need at least a year's worth of food. Let me just start this podcast off by saying, you need as much food as you can afford and store. And this is going to be different for every single person. Okay. When it comes to preparedness, we want to be as prepared as absolutely possible, you know, and especially when it comes to food and water, because the unprepared are going to be looking to the prepared for our gear, our knowledge, our skills, our food and water storage. You know, I mean, they're going to be looking to either, buddy up with us, or they're going to be looking to take it from us, right? And I think that's why preppers are generally so secretive, because they're like, oh, I have all this food, but I don't want you to come into my house and take it from me. But I think, you know, we need to think about our food storage in terms of not just trying to help us and our family, but maybe trying to help others as well, because a community, and I know I probably just lost a whole bunch of people right there, but when it comes to preparedness, especially for a long-term thing, we do need to think about the community aspect. How are we going to help those unprepared? Because not everybody is going to be screaming and running to our house and, you know, trying to, you know, take all of our stuff. Some people are just going to be really desperate, and they're going to want to pitch in. You know, they're going to want to share their skills and their knowledge, because everybody has something that they can share. Everybody has something that they can bring to the table and say, hey, you know, I'll go collect the water if I can have some food. You know, I'll do my fair share. And that's what should be expected of a community, you know, trying to thrive in an emergency or disaster situation. Everybody working together so that everybody's kind of doing their part, you know, to, make this a livable, survivable, thriving community of people who are just, you know, just getting by and trying to get by in this, you know, crisis, bad situation, right? And I think that the whole don't come to my house, you know, is really perpetuated. And honestly, I used to feel that way. I'm going to be real honest. You know, I used to feel that way, you know, don't come to my house. But, you know, I think if you were to come to my house with ill intentions, of course, there's going to be pushback. But if you were to come to my house, you know, and be like, you know what, I'm totally unprepared, you know, Morgan, I know you're prepared, please help me, you know, I'm willing to pitch in, you know, I mean, that's completely different, right? And I think everybody, you know, preppers seem to think that everybody's out to get them, when I don't think that that's going to be 100% the case. However, I will say that, you know, the more people get hungry, the more desperate they will become. Of course, you know, We're only like, what, a few meals away from, you know, desperation kind of thing. You know, I mean, yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, I don't know what people's thresholds are going to be. Some people, they miss a meal and, you know, they'll be desperate. Some people, you know, they could miss a few days and they'd be okay. You know, everybody's threshold is going to be completely different. Okay. So we do have to keep that in mind as well. And, you know, at first it's going to be really hard for everyone because maybe, you know, the type of food that you're going to be eating is probably going to be a lot different. You know, you may be eating a little bit less, and it's going to be, you know, all that non-perishable food, you know, like at first, like maybe it's a power outage or something, you know, we'll go straight to our fridge and freezer and try to eat that stuff first, you know? So we're probably going to be eating okay for, you know, a day or two or whatever, right? Or if you have a generator or some sort of solar or something that can keep your fridge running for longer, oh man, you're going to be living it up. That's what a lot of people do in emergencies or disasters. It's like, the lights go out and it's like, oh, well, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to, you know, get a generator so that I can just keep my fridge going because I got to have my ice and I got to have my fridge. You know, I just made a video about this rather. And it is very fascinating. You know, the thing that people would miss the most is refrigeration. And I think we could do without refrigeration. You know, it'd be really hard. There's lots of preservation. You know, there's lots of ways to preserve things, but it's not easy. It's not as easy as just throwing it in the fridge, right? It takes a little bit of work. But so I am going to be talking about, let's just kind of dive in. So how much food do you actually need to store? Like I said, it's going to be varied from person to person. There is no magical number that you need to store. Okay. I always suggest that people start out with at least 2 weeks worth of food and water because, you know, a natural disaster can probably come and go really fast, but it's the aftermath of that disaster that you're going to be surviving, right? It's not, you know, it's generally not that hurricane that comes and goes within a 24-hour period or less, right? It's the, or, you know, it could last a little bit longer than that, but I'm just saying, I'm just kind of giving a general time. But it could be, you know, the aftermath of my house was destroyed and now I need to try to survive. And of course, you know, we live in a society in which, you know, we could probably just go, you know, a state over or, you know, a few cities over and, you know, just kind of quote unquote create a new life, right? But you know, you could still get, you know, food there and all that. But, you know, let's say you don't have the resources to go and just, you know, pick up and move somewhere. How are you, or even if you do, maybe you can't get out right away. How are you going to survive in the meantime? And also on your trip there, wherever you're going to go, how are you going to survive? So you have that food that you can take with you to go, you know, and survive for however long needed, right? So I always suggest at least 2 weeks of food and water. And the best way to kind of map out your food and how much you have is to not only put it in a list, you know, make a food list, a food storage list, but to also make a food menu plan. You know, say, okay, well, I have a family of two, you know, we're just a family of two. Well, how much do we eat? You know, how much could we get by with as well? You know, because I think people kind of eat, you know, whatever they want. You know, a lot of people just kind of eat whatever they want because they can, right? But in an emergency or disaster situation, you know, let's say you're only relying on those 3 meals a day or 2 meals a day or 1 meal a day, right? Eric from Rule the Wasteland or the Lord Humongous, however you know him, he was saying that in an emergency or disaster, he's thinking of just eating once a day and, you know, getting all of his calories, his fats, nutrients or whatever from that one meal. And, you know, a lot of people have done that. I mean, heck, dogs can do that. You know, I feed my dogs twice a day and they're good on that. But a lot of dogs, you know, some animals in general will only eat once a day or once every when they get a meal, right? Sometimes it's not just once a day. It's once every, you know, week or whatever, whenever they can get a meal. So, you know, we have to try to rethink, you know, how we're going to eat in an emergency or disaster. Now, if you have plenty of food, there's no reason to ration, but there could be a reason to ration if you don't know how long the emergency or disaster is going to last. Let's say you have 2 weeks worth of food. Okay. How long is it really going to last? Is that 2 weeks worth of food? Could you extend the longevity of that 2 weeks worth of food to 3 or 4 weeks? You know, how long is this snowstorm going to last? You know, how long are you going to be trapped in your home, right? Will this 2 weeks be enough? I think that that's really important to ask and really important to try to map out through that menu plan. Like, okay, let's plan for 3 meals a day, you know, in this 2 weeks. But if we had to reduce it to 2 weeks to try to extend our food supply, you know, I'm sorry, to 2 meals a day to extend our food supply, could we do that? And I think everybody could. You know, it might be a little difficult at first, sure, but I think everybody could. So rationing, you know, I think whenever people hear the word ration, they get all like, no, I don't want to ration. I don't want to starve. You're not going to starve just because you eat a little bit less, okay? Just as long as you're still getting important nutrients and calories and fats and things, you'll be fine, okay? But, you know, you don't need to starve, okay? So how much food you store is going to be completely dependent on how much money you have to put towards food storage, as well as how much space you have for food storage. Because let me tell you, it doesn't matter whether you have, you know, freeze-dried foods, MREs, canned foods, it all takes up space. It does, okay? So, you know, especially, you know, the 5-gallon bucket method, they all take up space. So you have to understand where the heck you're going to store this stuff, okay? A couple ideas, you know, closets, under the bed, behind the couch. You could put them in really big bins and then make those bins like nightside. You could make them into little tables like in your kitchen or on your, you know, like a table next to your couch, you know, or a table next to your table, yeah. You know, I mean, you could make these, you could make it like a little coffee table, right? Just put a little blanket over it. I mean, you could make these, you know, usable to you instead of just, you know, this, you know, stuffing in a closet somewhere. And then, you know, you always kind of see them and you know that they're there, you know, you put a little sheet over them and none the wiser, right? I really like that method of just putting stuff in bins because then you have everything organized. You know, you can label the bins about exactly what's in there. Yeah, so 5-gallon buckets work just fine as well. You know, they take up space. I feel like 5-gallon buckets, they don't fit that much. And I feel like they do take up a little bit more space because it's not as easy to make like a table or make something out of the 5-gallon buckets, but a lot of people really like the 5-gallon bucket method. And I think what it would be a really good idea with a 5-gallon bucket is to use that 5-gallon bucket as like a grab and go food kit. So like, you know, make a couple of these 5-gallon buckets where you put a whole bunch of food, you know, that could make meals and things, a bunch of food into these bins, into these 5-gallon buckets. And then, you know, right, these are my bug out food buckets. So then you just grab these 5-gallon buckets and throw them in your car, you know, before you leave, you know, as you're bugging out or whatever. That is a really easy way to grab and go food. Okay, grab, you know, maybe a bin, you know, big bin isn't going to be as convenient to grab as like a 5-gallon bucket, you know what I mean? So making a 5-gallon go kit with food in it is going to be a really good idea. That's going to be a lot harder with water. I have a whole other podcast coming up. It's going to be talking about water, but I'm going to try to focus on just food. I am going to be talking about water a little bit, but you know, if you do want to add water into that equation, I would just have like a case of 24 bottles of water or something like that. Or maybe those cases of gallons of water that you see at like Costco, they come in a pack of 6 and just keep it in that pack of 6 of those gallons of water and then just grab that and go. So now you have 6 gallons of water. Plus, you know, you should have the water already in your car as well. You should have a bunch of water in there as well. Anyway, I was going to talk about water, all that in another podcast. So there's lots of places that you can store food and your general preps. you know, just try to get creative. Look around your house. Where could you realistically store stuff? Are there any cabinets and things that you can store things in? You know, that's not going to be in the way either. You know, we still need to live. So now I do want to talk about actual... Oh, sorry, that was me putting my hand down. I do want to talk about actual food. Okay, as far as the actual food goes, I think, you know, whether you're new, old, you know, whatever, a new old prepper is what I'm saying. You know, you've heard that beans and rice, right? Beans and rice, beans and rice. There's a few kind of reality checks here with beans and rice. Have you ever cooked raw beans? I did a video on my channel showing the process of cooking raw beans and how you would most likely cook it in an emergency or disaster. There's a hot press way and a cold press. There's, you know, you could soak the beans in cold water for like a really long time. And then, you know, cook it a different way. A lot of people were saying, oh, just cook it in the crock pot. I'm like, okay, well, if you don't have electricity, you're not using a crock pot. And then people were saying, well, just use a pressure cooker. Okay. If you don't have electricity, you're not using a pressure cooker. And I have heard that you can use a pressure cooker over a fire or a barbecue or something, but that makes me very nervous because you have to have, when it comes to pressure cooking stuff and pressure canning and stuff like that, you have to be aware of botulism, you know, you have to keep that temperature up. And that makes me very nervous doing that. So I probably wouldn't do that. But some people said that they have and it's been fine. But I would just be very cautious and very, you know, take precautions with that and make sure that you do lots of tests with it long before ever doing an emergency or disaster. If that's your plan to use a pressure cooker or pressure canner or anything, you know, like over a fire or a barbecue or something that doesn't have consistent heat, like on top of a stove. So anyway, beans not only take a lot of time, they take a lot of resources. They take a lot of heat resources and they take a lot of water resources, like 6 cups of water to cook it. And then I think it was like, you know, 6 cups of water to rinse it. I don't quote me on that. I don't remember. I remember it was like a bunch of water to rinse it and to soak it for a little bit. And then I put it, you know, and cooked it for a good hour. Actually, no, it was like an hour and a half or so, I think they said. Yeah, and then so you're using all those resources of water to cook these beans, and then you're using the resources of time, okay, and then you're using the resources of fuel. All these resources are being wasted on beans, and you may be saying, wasted? That's not wasted making beans. It kind of is, though, because... So you need to make sure that you're not just rationing food and water when needed, but that you're rationing your fuel and your time, okay? Because in an emergency or disaster, you may not be running around with a chicken with your head cut off, but, you know, when it comes to food and, you know, other things that you're doing, you also don't want to waste a lot of time doing that stuff. So you need to ration, you know, especially the fuel, you know, what is your alternative cooking method that you're using? That, you know, you need to kind of ration that fuel. So how much fuel do you have for this alternative cooking method? If you're using wood and let's say you're out in a very woody area and you can just kind of collect wood however you want, then maybe fuel isn't such a big deal to you. But also, you know, making, creating, sustaining fire could be, you know, it is time consuming. It is. It can be. And so, you know, you're using sources to start a fire, you know, you're using either a match, a lighter, you know, a fire starter, whatever it is that you're doing. Okay, so my point is, I don't think there's anything wrong with storing like canned beans. There's also freeze-dried beans, and there's dehydrated beans. Like in the stores, you can actually buy like dehydrated beans and things. You know, these things will use less resources. Yes, the dehydrated beans use water along with the freeze-dried beans. You know, they use water to rehydrate. So really, the canned beans will probably be your best bet, you know, if you're planning on lots of beans in your diet, just because, you know, let me just say, I do still store raw beans, okay? But for the majority of the beans that I store, they're canned. You know, So you have the canned beans of a variety too. I have refried beans. I have black beans. I have, you know, all sorts of beans. I have, you know, beans and bacon. I have all sorts of fun, yummy beans that are just ready to open and eat. You know, I mean, I think that's something that we really need to consider with our, you know, food preps and things. So, whenever you're thinking about any type of food, what resources is it using, and do you have the amount of resources to use it? So like also with canned foods, you know, you can eat pretty much any canned foods cold. Okay. So you can just open up the can and eat it. You know, like if you don't have a way to heat it up, or you can't at the moment, or whatever the case may be, you know, you can just open up the can and eat it. That's another plus, right? It may not be like super tasty, right? But it's possible. And then, you know, you have like soups, you can eat that cold. You know, there's a lot of condensed soups that you probably need to add a little bit of water or something to. With most, like, there are lots of canned, just like chunky soups and things. Some people do add water, and I think that's gross. Just eat it. Like, just eat it the way that it comes out. Don't add nothing to it. It tastes much better without the extra water, I think. Okay, so then when we come to rice, you know, rice takes resources as well. It takes 2 cups of water for 1 cup of rice. And then it does take the heat resources, you know, the fuel resources, whatever you're using to cook the rice, right? And even with, if you have instant rice will tend to go bad a little bit quicker than, you know, just obviously storing, you know, regular uncooked rice. But the instant rice, all you have to do is kind of heat that up with a tiny bit of water. I've done that. You know, the instant rice, they say that you should put it in the microwave, but I've done it plenty of times, just throwing it in the skillet and just like, you know, putting a tad bit of water and then just kind of steaming it that way with a lid on top. It works perfectly great like that too. And that doesn't take nearly as much time or resources. Of course, I'm still heating it up, you know, but it's a lot less time. Normally rice can take anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. You know, if you do get that instant rice, that 5-minute rice that you actually cook on the stove, I was talking about like the bagged instant rice, but if you're looking at that 5-minute bagged rice or whatever, that you just kind of put in some boiling water, you know, that still takes the 5 minutes, and, you know, it's still using water and fuel and stuff like that, but maybe a little bit less. And, you know, when we're thinking about some stuff, like with that bagged rice where you just put the bag in the water, you could actually probably reuse that water for something else a little bit later, you know, like if you want to use that water again to, you know, cook another bagged rice later down the road, you may have to add a little bit of water because of evaporation and stuff. Or maybe you want to use that water to, you know, I don't know, some gray water purposes, right? You know, don't waste that water. But unfortunately, with the water that we're cooking with beans and rice, you know, when the rice and beans and, you know, things are right in there, unfortunately, that water really can't be reused unless you really filter it, you know, really good somehow. You know, I wouldn't want to use that water to like wash my dishes or something, right? That doesn't make any sense. You know, you may be able to use it if you could filter it somehow, you know, but you could potentially use it to water a plant outside or something, you know, don't let it potentially go down the drain. Or, you know, okay, so then we're talking about variety. So a lot of people just store beans and rice, and I'm not joking. You know, a lot of people, I say this, you know, like, you know, don't just store beans and rice. And they're like, well, I'm not just storing beans and rice. Well, that's great. But I have heard so many preppers that say, I store beans and rice, and that's it. You know, because they're like, that gives me all the nutrients and calories and everything I need. And that is incorrect. It's extremely incorrect. Beans and rice do not give you all of your nutrients that you need. It gives you some of it, and it can sustain you, but over time, like if you have that as just a regular meal every day for an extended period of time, you will start to get very sick. So you need to pay close attention to the type of food that you are storing. You need those fruits and vegetables, even if it's canned. And yes, you do lose nutrients when you can and process stuff, but you're still getting some nutrients, you know, from those canned fruits and canned vegetables, canned meats, you know, I would say freeze-dried is better than dehydrated simply because the freeze-dried retains more nutrients than dehydrated. However, in saying that, I'm a big fan of dehydrating your own stuff because who can afford a $2,000 freeze dryer? Apparently some people, because I've heard of all these people who are like, I got a freeze dryer. I'm like, oh, you lucky SOB. I want a freeze dryer so bad. I live in an RV, so I can't have a freeze dryer anyway, unless I want to get rid of the fridge. And then I'll just freeze dry everything that comes to me. Okay. Getting a little crazy there. Okay, so, you know, freeze-drying does retain most of the nutrients, more of the nutrients than dehydrating does. However, if you can easily, you know, just get a dehydrator yourself and dehydrate stuff and make your own dehydrated meals, that's an awesome way of doing it. You know, dehydrating stuff, if you dehydrate it and put it, store it in Mylar bags and then store those Mylar bags in like a cool, dry place, that food can last, you know, a couple of years easily. Okay. I've eaten freeze-dried stuff that I haven't even packaged very well, like 2 years later, and it was perfectly fine. I mean, I've put an oxygen absorber in it. Like, I think I don't know why I did this, but I accidentally stored some like dehydrated peas in a Ziploc bag with an oxygen absorber. And it was like a year later I found it and I was like, oh my God, I forgot to put this in a Mylar bag. And I opened it up and it was fine. It smelled just fine. It looked fine. Everything was fine. I actually rehydrated it. It was great. I didn't get sick after eating it. It was just fine. Now, I'm not saying to do that, okay? I am not saying to just to store things in a Ziploc bag because that is not the way to properly store stuff. You know, if I had left that Ziploc bag for probably another, you know, year or longer than a year, I would say, it probably would have started to go bad. Honestly, you know, especially with a little flimsy Ziploc bag, right? Easily get a hole in that, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a Ziploc bag is not the way to store stuff. But anyway, the best way to store like dehydrated stuff, you know, if you do make your own freeze dried stuff, is in Mylar bags. And to restore stuff, like if you want to store, you know, bulk rice, if you want to store your bulk flour, bulk things, you know, definitely repackage that into a Mylar bag with an oxygen absorber and it'll last a lot longer. You know, like I store breadcrumbs and noodles and all this stuff with an oxygen absorber and it's fine, you know, dried foods. And then canning your own stuff, awesome, awesome way to do it. You know, pressure canning and water bath canning, and don't be afraid of the pressure canner. Okay. Prepper Potpourri on YouTube, she has some great videos about pressure canning. I would highly suggest going to her channel. She has some really great, videos about pressure canning and just canning in general. She's really good with all that stuff. She has a lot of great ideas. So head over to her channel. But variety. You want to have variety. You want to have variety of nutrients, a variety of foods, not just for nutrition purposes, but so that you don't go insane. Okay. If you have beans and rice stored as your main like food source for an emergency or disaster, I want you to do me a favor and I want you to eat beans and rice for like 2 weeks straight. Just beans and rice every single meal, every single day. That's it. You know, with water, of course, drinking water, coffee or whatever. And I want you to do that. No seasonings, no nothing. You know, I mean, nobody in the history of time has ever like lived on like just two sources of food. Okay. Native Americans, you know, I mean, everybody throughout history has said, you know, oh, well, we need some more stuff here. You know, we need to grow our own, you know, food because, you know, we need to harvest our own meat and stuff like this. You know, we need to domesticate pigs and all this other stuff because we need this variety of food. You know, we need, you know, something more than just, you know, bread or, you know, whatever it was that they were, you know, regularly eating. You know, they had those varieties. They got those varieties of food. In addition to variety, you should have seasonings. Okay. You never, ever, ever, ever hear of preppers talking about seasonings outside of like salt and pepper. I highly recommend at least a couple seasonings. Let's see, the Prepper Cooking 101 or Cooking Preparedness 101. What did he change his name to? I think he's Cooking Preparedness 101. He has a book called The Tale of Preparedness, and I love his cookbook, and I have it, and it's really great. It doesn't have any pictures, but the it's all food storage. It's all food made from food storage stuff, and he's always talking about seasonings, and he sent me like a whole bunch of seasonings to use and stuff, and I mean, just some of the stuff that he has in these recipes are like kind of out there. Like he has some octopus and stuff, but they have octopus in a box, like that's preserved octopus and stuff. It's pretty neat, actually. And I've tried it. It's good. It's really good. And, you know, like sardines and things, these things that you would never think to store in your food storage, but it's really good. And it's totally, he's actually really opened my mind to, the things that I could be storing to enjoy food even during an emergency or disaster. And I know a lot of people might be saying, well, you're not supposed to enjoy the food, it's just supposed to be sustenance. No, like food can bring you joy, and it should bring you joy. Something in an emergency or disaster should bring you joy. And if it's food, fantastic. That's great. That's even better, right? If you can look forward to that meal of octopus and rice that you're gonna have later, that's fantastic, right? Isn't it? Isn't that something? Wouldn't that be like a morale booster? Wow, this seasoning really adds that kick. Oh, I really needed this hot meal. It's so good, you know? I mean, and you also, again, with that, you might maybe thinking or yelling at the podcast, well, I'm gonna eat anything if I'm starving. Yeah, but you're a prepper. You don't have to starve. You can prep. You can be prepared with foods that you like and foods that you will eat and seasoning and make it good, okay? You don't have to, like, live this life of just rice and beans, okay? So in saying all that, you know, special diets. If you are on a special diet, you could probably continue that in an emergency or disaster situation as long as you plan for it properly with the proper stored foods, right? You can, if you're like a diabetic, I've done videos on this and, you know, I've talked about this, but, you know, if you're on like some sort of special diet, you know, and it's not like, you know, because I want to lose weight diet. I'm talking about diets because, you know, of some particular health concern or something. You know, even if you're a vegetarian, right? You know, you want to keep being a vegetarian, you know, I mean, that's fine. But you will have to be extra vigilant with the foods that you prep because, you know, being a vegetarian or a vegan, you know, with non-perishable foods can be really tough because, you know, vegetarian and vegans are very, you know, into the fresh foods and things. You know, like the Mediterranean diet, all these things are really into those fresh foods. So it can be really tough. So, you know, I'm a big believer that special diets can be mostly sustained. I think that you may need to compromise a little bit just to get extra nutrients and things. But, you know, as we're talking about nutrients, I think that something that a lot of preppers actually do miss is vitamins and supplementations, okay? There's actually a vitamin that is made specifically for preppers. I need to actually look at the name here just really quick. Okay, so there actually is a vitamin formula that's made for, I don't know if they're actually, they are targeting preppers and long-term storage and just for life or whatever, but it's called Survivaguard. What's really nice about Survivaguard is that it lasts 3 years stored on the shelf, which is actually a year more than regular vitamins. And vitamins, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but like we give our 3-year-old daily vitamins, and the vitamins, they're little chewable vitamins, and they start to look kind of funny, right? And I know, it's scientifically proven that all medications, including vitamins, have a shelf life, and they have like half lives and things. Like let's say the vitamins, you know, they have a best buy or expiration date, you know, 2 years from now. Well, in those 2 years, you know, you should be eating it and then, or, you know, should be consuming it in some way. And then after those 2 years, basically what's going to happen is you could still take it, but it may not be as potent. Like the nutrients may decrease. So you may have, instead of like 100% vitamin C, it may only be 75% vitamin C, right? So the potency of the vitamin or medication or whatever it is will decrease, not a lot, but it will continue to decrease over time. And then some medications and vitamins, after the certain, you know, expiration or best buy date, simply won't work at all. So you may just be taking the vitamin, but it won't be doing anything. So, you know, or the medication or whatever it is. I have taken a year expired medication, and it not only didn't do anything, it actually made me sick. I like vomited it back up. It was bad. So you had to be really, really careful with medications. And while everybody's like, oh, it's fine, just stick it in the freezer or fridge, it'll be fine for years and years, be careful. I would honestly just get the I would get vitamins and medications the most up-to-date as possible. And, you know, with these vitamins, the Survivaguard, you know, these can be stored for up to 3 years. And, you know, it's a 6-month supply in their number 10 can, which is great. And then their little bottles, they actually come with like a couple little bottles, a number 10 can, things like that. They actually say that the shelf life of the number 10 can, which is the 6-month supply, is actually 10 years because it's in a Mylar bag and it's preserved a certain way. Now, could you do this? Could you do the same method, you know, put it in a Mylar bag with an oxygen absorber, you know, just regular vitamins? I would just be very cautious of doing that. I think that you could, you know, put vitamins in a Mylar bag with, you know, an oxygen absorber and, you know, try to store the vitamins for long term, but just know that it may not be as effective. You know, certain vitamins may not, you know, it just may not store properly that way. You know, regardless if that's a good way to store things, it may not be good for that particular vitamin or medication. See what I'm saying? So, because they're all kind of different. So anyway, my point is, you know, look for vitamins and make sure to store vitamins. I mean, heck, take a vitamin every single day. And what I would do is just get like 2 bottles of vitamins, ones that you take, you know, every day. And then that next bottle you'll use, and then get another bottle. So then that extra bottle that you have is good. Now, Costco Kirkland brand, they have the bulk vitamins, you know, like they have like 300 vitamins in it or whatever. Like my husband still has his vitamins, and it has like, you know, it doesn't have 300, it's 500 pills in there. So it'll last well over a year. You know, you can get 2 of those. Okay. Now, what I would suggest with that actually is to get 1 of those and then get another one probably a little bit later, and then maybe store that one in the freezer or fridge or something. That will help to preserve it a little bit, or if you want to store that in the Mylar bag to help preserve it. I know I'm talking a lot about vitamins, but I think, you know, that's a really, really overlooked prep is vitamins. And I actually want to talk, I want to have a whole podcast just talking about vitamins and what can go wrong. I have an actual YouTube video talking about Survivaguard and vitamins and what can happen if you don't get certain nutrients. And unfortunately, you know, we should be eating the proper nutrients through just the food that we consume. So we should be getting all our nutrients through the fruits and vegetables and meats and fats and things and everything that we're eating. However, you know, the diets that we have, they could be missing certain vitamins. So that's why I take a daily supplement. It just helps. You know, you can 100% overdose on vitamins. So that's also something you have to be aware of. Like with the Survivaguard, it's so potent that I was actually considering taking half of the vitamin every single day instead of a full vitamin, because taking like the one vitamin was going to give me so much of a certain vitamin, and I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. You know, like I don't want to be overdosing on a vitamin, because it could actually render it just completely useless if you're overdosing on it. You know, you get too much in your system, it could make you sick. It could make it ineffective, just a bunch of things. So you really want to look into vitamins and getting the appropriate amount. Survivaguard is really good. I have Survivaguard. You know, I've taken it. But I, you know, if it were an emergency situation, I would still be taking about half, you know, just so you're getting something, but you know, you're not overdosing on it, you know, you're not, you know, potentially getting sick off it, that kind of stuff. So, okay. And last, what I want to talk about is kind of supplementing your food storage. So what I mean by that is, how can you go out and procure food that is not part of your food storage? Do you know wild edibles? Do you know how to small game hunt? Do you know how to fish? Would you like to eat bugs? You know, I mean, whenever I talk about bugs, people are like, no, I will never eat bugs. Actually, bugs really aren't that bad. I've had crickets, ants, and especially if you fry them up, you know, put them in some seasoning, mix them up with your rice, they're really good. And, you know, lots of people all over the world eat bugs. And, you know, as long as you cook them properly, you know, just like with any food, cook them properly, that's also making sure that the parasites aren't in them as well. It's super easy to collect bugs. And I actually just had a newsletter. If you're not part of my newsletter, definitely get a part of it. Go to my website at roguepreparedness.com and sign up for my newsletter. I had a newsletter a while back that talked about collecting bugs. But anyway, it's super easy to collect bugs, especially ants and crickets and worms. They're probably the easiest three to collect, and probably the top three that I would consider eating. And they are a good source of protein. And that, along with some greens that you find from your weeds in your yard, like, you know, dandelions, and, you know, you can eat the leaves and the flowers, you know, the petals. That could make like a really good little salad, you know, in addition to, you know, your rice and beans, right? you know, there's supplementation. So we also have to think about that. How could we supplement our food storage to make it last a little bit longer? And you know, how many people are you storing this food for? You know, you also have to think about the picky children in your family, you know. You need to store specific food for those specific people. Do you have a baby, toddlers, things like that, that are picky eaters? You know, like, we store a lot of mac and cheese for our toddler because that's what she likes. Of course, we're helping her to expand her palate and stuff, but mac and cheese, always a go-to, right? And we actually have, like, dehydrated cheese, and like, we have a whole bunch of things to actually just kind of put together mac and cheese out of that stuff instead of storing just the box cheese. Now we have like a bulk supply of stuff to put together and make a whole bunch of mac and cheeses instead of just like a box of mac and cheese, you know what I mean? So I get that from Valley Food Storage, actually. I get a lot of my freeze-dried and dehydrated stuff, like number 10 cans, from Valley Food Storage. They offer really good deals. They're really high quality. And then when I get like meals, freeze-dried meals, always Mountain House. Love Mountain House. And let's see. Oh, actually, if you guys want a coupon code for Mountain House, just message me on any of my Instagram, any of my social medias, on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or anywhere. Just message me and ask me for the code and I'll give it to you. It changes all the time. That's why I'm not putting it in the podcast. Just, you know, if you want the Mountain House code to get 30% off, then I'll give you a special code. Anyway, you know, and if you've gotten this long, in the podcast, you deserve a treat. You deserve a 30% off code. So yeah, I hope that this has been, you know, helpful. I mean, there's so much to talk about food storage, but if you're in the position in which you're like, you know what, I just don't even know where to start, just go to the store and buy some non-perishable food, okay? Don't stress about it too much. You know, I think when people think about, you know, food storage and water storage and stuff, they just stress so much about it. Don't stress. Just go to the grocery store, get some pasta, get some rice, get a few cans of, you know, soups and canned meats and, you know, canned vegetables and canned fruits. There you go. Okay? You don't have to stress so much about it. I'm going to have a whole nother episode about water in another episode. A whole nother episode about water in another episode. That's what I just said. I'm not going to cut that out because I don't know what's going on with me today. Okay, so I'm going to be having some amazing guests on in future shows. If you would like to be a guest on my podcast, or if you know someone who would be an amazing guest on my podcast, please send them my way. You can email me at morgan@roguepreparedness.com. And if you ever, again, if you ever have any questions, comments, just want to say, hey, hit me up on any of my social media channels. Head to my website at roguepreparedness.com. Sign up for my newsletter. I'm getting ready for some online courses on there. And if you really like this podcast or any of my other work, please consider supporting me on Patreon for just $2 a month. I offer daily content with exclusive giveaways, free stuff, some exclusive content just for Patreon. Patrons on Patreon. And you can find me on Patreon by just searching Rogue Preparedness or going to patreon.com/roguepreparedness. Thank you all so much for listening. Truly appreciate you. And remember, conquer tomorrow by preparing today. Talk to y'all later. Bye.